Make sure to follow us, the All Gen Gamers Podcast, on Facebook and Twitter. Subscribe to us on YouTube and in iTunes. And don't forget about those iTunes ratings, guys. We appreciate those. And for all other info, links, and our forum, please visit www.allgengamers.com. Welcome to the All Gen Gamers, a podcast for people and video games of all generations, starring Pete Doerr, Gamester81, Jason Heine, and Metal Jesus Rocks.
Hey guys, welcome back to the All Gen Gamers podcast, and yes, we took a week off. It's crazy but true. I know.
I can hear the rage.
Occasionally we take a week off, but we're back with a vengeance, and we have Kinsey with us, the special guest today. How's it going?
It's going great. How are you guys today?
Wonderful.
Doing great.
Yeah. Now, I do have a question for you, though, because you did mention, I'm going to tell on you a little bit, but you did mention that you're going to be a little bit nervous because you're kind of used to the, or you're not used to the whole podcasting thing. So what was my advice to you?
Oh, that's ought to be good.
Your advice was to take a shot of whiskey.
And? Did you do
and
it?
And in the form of a whiskey ginger, and yes.
Nice.
Nice. What's a whiskey ginger?
Just whiskey and ginger ale.
Oh, nice. Okay.
That's okay. Cool. I know. It's so funny when you go on a podcast and, you know, because everything's being recorded, you're all like, you know, really sensitive about what you say and, you know, all that. You don't want to say the wrong thing.
I can tell you our listeners get super offended by everything you say. No, I'm just playing. They don't care. I remember the first couple episodes, like the first, 20 episodes we recorded, we're all clean. And we're like, I think Johnny said shit. And everyone's like, oh, like, you know, I remember now we don't give a fuck. We can say whatever.
Yeah, it was always like, oh, Pete Doerr, you have a very elegant looking game room. Like, what are we listening to?
That's so funny. So, Kinsey, why don't you tell us a little bit about your history? Because I know you're a part of the Seattle Retro Gaming Expo, right?
I sure am.
What did you do there?
I am the PR and social media director for Seattle Retro Gaming. So I do all of the social media, help plan events. I help do the question block trivia every month. So, and then whatever other duties nobody wants.
No.
Nice.
Now, I didn't realize that you do that every month. So where do you do that at?
We do it at the Wild Rover. It's an Irish pub in Kirkland.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of cool. I had no idea.
Yeah, it's going great. The last one we had, it was almost like capacity.
Wow.
Huh. That's always a good sign.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, I met you several years ago because you were working the counter at one of our local retro gaming stores, which was Another Castle. Do you remember that?
I sure do. Just like it was yesterday.
And for those people that don't know, Another Castle is one of the best gaming stores that we have in this area, because not only is it just jam packed full of games and stuff, but it has a huge stand-up arcade section. Mm-hmm. And, that was before, or no, I'm sorry. That was, you worked there before that they did that, right?
When we very first opened, we had like a spot like reserved for the arcade, and then we started opening it up like little bit by little bit. So we had like, we started with just the play choice. So it's grown a lot. I don't even know now, there's probably 30 arcades there, 35.
Yeah, it's huge, isn't it? It's awesome. And how long did you work there?
I worked there for about 2 years, and I managed it for a year.
Nice. Well, what are some crazy items that you guys got traded in there? Just curious, from the years that you were there.
Oh, man, we got everything. I was always so wowed, and people would be like, yeah, I don't want this anymore. It's only my, Magic Knight Ray Earth on the Saturn, but whatever. I'll take whatever for it. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, it's just mind-blowing to a collector, you know? Now,
what do you do in that situation? Do you give them, like, market value? I mean, how do you handle this? If they don't know the value of it, do you like undercut him and just say, okay, we'll give you $10.
Or do you... You're totally setting her up here if she does.
I know.
Yeah, we rip everyone off that comes through.
I definitely was always very fair with all of my trade values because I would hate it for, you know, them to tell their friend, hey, I took, you know, Magic Knight Ray Earth there and they gave me $10. I thought it was pretty good. And their friend's like, excuse me?
Karma always comes back and bites you, right? So
yeah, exactly. So I was always super fair and people... we're always sometimes pleasantly surprised, or they'd be like, oh, that's worth that. I'm going to take it back.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Thanks.
So, you know, this is something that I've always wondered, like if you got a trade in of a game or two and you weren't sure of the value, how did you guys typically check the value of what you should give for trade in value? Did you just go on eBay or use another site to check?
For the most part, at least at Another Castle. I know it sounds weird, but the owner is Matt Artem, and he's one of my good friends, and he is like a walking encyclopedia of prices. I don't know how this happens, but I'm like, hey, Matt, I don't know what I should get for this one. And he like looks at it and he's like, this is definitely 15 for trade. I'm like, how do you know this?
Wow. I thought there was an app amazing. For that too, right?
It's called Matt, apparently.
Yeah.
I'm searching in the App Store. I don't see it.
Matt app. That's kind of a catchy name to it. Matt app.
I like it.
Yeah, if only he knew how to work a smartphone.
Right.
Now, how did you work there and not just be incredibly poor?
Oh, man, it was really tough. I used to manage Game Crazies back when they existed. And I kind of learned my lesson there because I would buy so much stuff, like almost every release date I would buy it. And I still have games that I just still have sealed and just never touched just because I had to have it. I don't know why. And especially when they started clearancing out all of their, as they called it, classic plastic. Mm. I bought almost everything I could get my little hands on. So I kind of learned my lesson working at Game Crazy, not to buy absolutely everything. But it was really tough when like a game would come in, even though it's not a cheap game, but it's one I've always wanted. I usually would succumb and buy it.
Now, what are some of your favorite, like, say, consoles to collect for? Because I know you collect a lot, right?
Yeah. Well, right now, I'm kind of on this weird, like, I'm going to collect every Sailor Moon game out there kick. And none of them came out in America, so it's been a little bit tough. But so that's been super fun, just kind of diving into that. But I don't know. I was trying to, like, classify myself as a collector, and I just kind of buy what I want. Mm-hmm. I guess you could say, like, my boyfriend, he actually is a NES collector, and he's like, I don't know, 12 or 15 away from a full collection. So from that, now I'm like, well, now I can't buy any NES games because I technically own them all.
Yeah. And you can just walk in that room and probably play whatever you want, you know, just
pretty
about.
Much. Yeah. Yeah. It's awesome.
And, you know, do people walk into, I know you don't work at Another Castle now, but I mean, I guess people would just walk in with the rarest NES games. Well, the reason why I say that because John last year at Another Castle, there was an older Nintendo employee that walked into that store while we were standing there, and he had your sealed copy of Zelda, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Huh.
Yeah. So that was the store.
Yeah, that was a cool story. I mean, we were literally walking out of the store and this guy comes in, pulls up and brings all these boxes of like old Nintendo Powers and strategy guides and sealed games. We're like, holy shit. You know, the gaming gods were shining down on us that day for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think like the rarest thing that ever got traded in there was a sealed stack up.
Oh, wow.
And that's like crazy. Like, why would someone? Well, I don't know, but it was a great find for somebody.
Yeah. Wow. That is rare.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So you also are going to be doing a panel at PAX this weekend.
Yep, I sure am.
What is it and how did you get that gig?
Well, Nate is the co-founder of SRGE and the creator of our trivia nights. We call it the Question Block Video Game Pub Quiz. And so we actually did that panel at SRGE. I guess panel is kind of a hard word for it because it's just like it's like a trivia night. It's an interactive panel. So you can be on teams. It's teams of up to four. And then we just kind of go through the questions. And unfortunately, at this panel, I probably won't be doing much talking, only because I'm the one who grades all the answer sheets. And at SRGE, we had like 32 teams, which is more than we've ever had at the trivia night at the bar. And I felt like that took me forever. So, and we're going to be in the Serpent Theater at 8:30 on Saturday night. And that seats, I think, 850 people. So wow. It has nice. The potential to be really big.
Okay. So I have a question, though, is that when you, first of all, who comes up with the questions? And more importantly, are there going to be classic PC questions in there for old gamers like me? No
we've
pressure.
Actually gotten we've gotten a lot of requests for PC game questions. And I think we are going to throw a couple in there for PAX. And it's me and Nathan who write all the questions. So, yeah. And I write questions every day for the Twitter. So I write a lot of questions.
Oh, interesting. Okay, you're the one who does it on like Facebook and stuff too, right?
Yep, that's me.
Oh. Now, you mentioned, though, that you might have trivia questions for us.
I may have a couple set aside that for just for this.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
We're going to bomb.
Yeah.
Are they multiple choice? Or are they open-ended? Or
what? John's getting nervous.
Is it like essay? Do you want us to go through like an essay format? Or, I mean, shit, I don't know. I'm nervous now.
You're welcome to reply as an essay or a song. That works too.
There you go. Sing it. Bring it back. Nice.
Should we dive into that? What do you think?
Let's do it.
Oh, I'm so scared.
I know.
So at this PAX event you're doing, are you guys going to do prizes? Like who gets first and like what's the ultimate goal? Just kind of show off like, okay, that's cool.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be prizes. I know that we're donating some and I believe PAX is donating some as well.
Mm. Cool.
So we should have some pretty good stuff for hopefully first and second at least.
Nice.
Hmm. Yeah.
I just want to know what I'll be getting when I win.
Oh yeah, right. No, because Pete's not going, so that's the key.
Well, you definitely could get all the glory.
That is so funny.
All right. Are you guys ready for some questions?
Fire away.
Let's do it.
All right. Here's the first one. What system has an option to automatically pause every 15 to 30 minutes so that the player can take a break?
I got it.
I know this one.
Oh, wow, I should know this one. Oh, I got it. Yeah, I got it.
Jason, do you know it?
No, I don't think I know it.
It was a very uncomfortable system to play.
I remember hearing about this, but...
Mm-hmm. I got it. Can I take a guess?
Yeah, yeah.
3DS.
Ooh.
Virtual Boy.
Virtual Boy. Yep.
Virtual Boy, okay.
What?
I thought the 3DS doesn't ask you...
I think they recommend that you take a... Like, I think the 3DS does it when you're about to boot up a game or something. I think it says, we recommend you take a break or something, I think.
Yeah, the Wii does that too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. By the way, did you guys see this week that a new Street Fighter 2 game came out for the Virtual Boy?
What?
Really?
Yes.
Where can you get that? What the hell?
Where did I see that? I want to say it was on Kotaku, but basically,
is it Homebrew or is it just a ROM?
Well, the guy I'm looking up at now, the video shows it running on a real Virtual Boy because he pulls off the rubber part and he puts his iPhone in there and he plays it live, and it's all in red. It looks real.
I hope this makes the Homebrew scene come out for the Virtual Boy because that system. Need some love. I would love to see more new games come out for that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I have a question. Here's a trivia question back at you guys. If you guys know this one, okay, it's related to the Virtual Boy. That's why I bring this up. So, what system was the Virtual Boy? Like the way the Virtual Boy works with the red and the 40 LED lights and the spinning mirror. What system was the Virtual Boy based off of? Where did
it's a Nintendo system.
No.
Can I take a guess?
Okay.
The Tiger R Zone?
No.
Wasn't one of the versions of the R Zone like red and black or some weird like color combination? Because there were multiple versions of the R Zone. And yeah,
there was a consoleized version of the R Zone, but no, that's not it.
Okay.
Good guess though. Good guess. It's super rare. It's a really rare, obscure console that you guys probably never heard of before. So
wait.
I don't know.
I think I know it. The Adventure Vision?
Pete Dore.
Dude.
What the hell?
Get the fuck out of here with that.
He's not even a man, he's a machine.
He's just out of control.
On fire. Yeah,
the I may have to steal that one for Twitter.
Boom.
Yeah, boom.
Just like that.
Nice.
That's awesome. Okay, so 2 points. So I got a point and Pete got a point.
Wait, I have to ask, Gamester, do you have plans on getting an Adventure Vision? Like, if one shows up, like, is there a price that you would pay?
If I want to take out a second mortgage, maybe, because that's super, it's super expensive. So, I mean, yeah, I'd probably, I don't know what I'd pay for it.
Isn't that thing like a ticking time bomb too? Like, if it breaks, like, that's it. There's like no way to fix it.
Oh yeah, because it's the monitor is built into the machine. It's for those who don't know what the Adventure Vision is. It came out. It's a tabletop gaming system, so it's not really a handheld or portable, but it's by Extex, a company called Extex, which is E-X-E-X. And basically, they released this the system, and only 4 games came out for it. And it's all, it's got 40 LED lights, and it uses a spinning mirror like the Virtual Boy does.
Hmm.
I don't think it's necessarily 3D per se, but it's it flopped, didn't do very well. And it's big and bulky.
I would love to get the chance to try one of those.
And when did it come out?
It came out in the in 82, I believe.
1982. Wow.
Yeah.
Really early.
Didn't it also have like, it's funny because it had so few games, but didn't it also have like a Neo Geo sort of like where you had 4 slots and you could put all 4 games in at once and just switch between them?
Something like that, yeah. It had a joystick and stuff. It was a cool system, but way ahead of its time, like the Vectrex, but a lot more obscure.
Hmm. So Kenty, I was gonna say, did anybody ever turn those in? You know, bring in the games.
Not that I know of.
That's so funny. All right, next question.
All right, this one's pretty easy, but I love this question, so I had to do it. All right, so fill in the blank. Genesis does what?
Nintendo. Should we all say it together?
Yeah.
Too late.
Too late. I wonder if there are people that don't know that.
Only one of the best like campaign sentences ever.
People that don't Nintendo that.
Oh, I don't know. Ladies and gentlemen.
Nintendo
that. It is the Gamester 81 in his house.
They're you know what, Sony should do something like that now, don't you think?
Oh, that would be so awesome. Oh
my you know, because that's it's ripe for Sony to just create something against the Xbox One like that. It'd be awesome.
Sony does like what slogan. Microsoft don't. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. I was actually just watching like a really old newscast, and it was about kids who are Nintendo-pendant. So poor Nintendo's had like all of that.
Yeah.
Nintendo. That's funny.
I like the fact that Sony is taking jabs at Microsoft, though. I missed that, you know, because you had that in the 16-bit wars where Nintendo and Genesis were, you know, going back and forth, right? Sega, Nintendo, and you know, we kind of lost that for a while, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's good. It's good for Microsoft because it's making them fight back and make revisions that are actually good for their console.
Did you hear that they're going to give away a game in Europe just to get people to pre-order it?
Yeah, FIFA.
Yeah, which is a game that people would buy anyway. So it's not like they're just giving away some crappy game. That's a game that sells really well over there. And they're willing to take the loss.
Xbox One?
Yep.
Wow. Yeah.
Which is kind of annoying because why don't they do that here? They're basically trying to level the price field because it's $100 more. So if they throw in a $60 FIFA game, which is really popular, that makes it easier for people to make the decision. But they're not going to do it here.
Bullshit.
I know. I mean, not that I want FIFA, but at least something would be kind of cool.
I'd play it for free.
Yeah, free is a good price.
Free is it free 53?
Free 99, sucker.
That was an easy one, though. We all got that one.
I know. I had to do that one.
Yeah, it's a good one.
You're like, let's see if these guys really know what they're doing.
You should say, like, people who don't know that, you should take away a point. Like, that should be, like, a negative point.
That's like, that should be, like, you never play again.
You have to resign from the podcast.
It's that permadeath shit. Pete loves that.
I do.
All right. Are you guys ready for another one?
Sure.
Shoo,
love it.
All right. Arguably the most expensive home console ever released, this system was released with a price tag of $970 and required a $600 module to actually play games.
And well, I mean, I always thought it was the 3DO, but that's not right.
Nope.
You're talking about something else here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the 3DO module was pretty expensive, but didn't.
Oh, wait, say that one more. Ask that question one more time.
All right. Arguably the most expensive home console ever released, this system was released with a price tag of $970 and required a $600 module to actually play games.
Can I take a guess?
Yeah.
The Laser Active.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, boom.
Nice. Ooh.
Yeah, nice job.
Wow.
Thanks. Question is, what modules? Because there's several modules. Can you name the modules?
I know there's one to play Genesis games.
There's one for Genesis, there is one for TurboGrafx 16, and there is one for karaoke.
Woohoo. Nice. I think the only Laser Active the ones I've seen in the wild, like 100% of the time, they have the Genesis one.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, the TurboGrafx 16 is super rare. But the fact that you can play Laserdisc too, which is pretty sweet, because you can get, if you can find Laserdisc in the wild, you can get them cheap, like $2 for a movie.
And yeah.
They're cool. So, nice. Good question.
Wow, yeah.
Do you have one of those, John?
Yes, I do.
Oh.
It's cool because the Genesis controller actually says Laser Active on it. It's like a unique Genesis controller, 6-button controller with Laser Active logo. It's by a Pioneer.
I think I've seen more of those controllers than I have actual Laser Actives.
It's huge. It's a big, big system.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right. You guys want another one?
Sure.
Hit us.
All right. Let's see. All right. So we all know that Blockbuster had a couple exclusives that later became pretty rare titles. One of them is a fighting game franchise recently had its instruction manual sell for over $1,000, making the manual more valuable than the game. What series was it from?
I know it, but I'm going to say these guys should know it because I did a segment about this game. So you guys better know it.
Oh, you're assuming we were paying attention. Damn it.
Yes. Yes.
So it's a Blockbuster exclusive title where it's based on a fighting franchise.
Mm-hmm. I have a guess.
I did an eBay segment on this game and I said, this is how much it sold for.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah. But can you remember the game?
Oh God. You know what? The only thing that's coming to mind, and it's probably wrong. And Pete, if you want to kick me off the podcast, that's fine. I'm going to say,
okay. I know what it is. I'm going to take a guess. Go ahead, Melgius. What was your guess?
Well, maybe I should let you go so I don't embarrass
myself. And the title must be 100% correct.
Okay, it's
Clay Fighters.
Clay Fighters, yes. That's what I'm saying.
Clay Fighters, oh wait, oh shit. It's a 33rd and a third, 6390, 65 plus tax and a third special edition, something like that. Right?
Pretty close, yeah. Basically.
Isn't it like 33 and a third point something or... What is the official
63 name? And a third.
Oh, 63 and a third. That's right. Okay.
That was pretty close. I'm impressed. I'm happy with myself.
So the manual is worth more than the game?
Yeah.
Well, when you find a complete copy, I forget what the price was. I remember like a few weeks back and we were all like, holy shit, that's how much it sold for. Because complete copies of that game just don't show up in mint condition. Because think about it. Mm-hmm. It was in Blockbuster. The box is sitting on the shelf as a display. And you know what happens to them things. Especially when they go to sell it, they stick those big, ugly price stickers on there. So when these show up complete in mint condition, it's extremely rare. And the thing must have just like never even hit the shelf. It must have been sitting in the back or something, you know?
Wow.
And the manuals, you know, everybody used to keep them things. Shit. I'll admit it. You know, I used to rent N64 games and I'd keep that manual every once in a while. Just so I wouldn't forget the game in the pet, you know, the road. Got the manual.
What? How much did I go for, Pete? Do you remember what they were asking for?
Oh, man. I forget how much the complete one went for. It was ridiculous. I mean, I can look and see if I can find it, but it was several thousand dollars.
Really?
Yeah, it's crazy.
If you're going for a complete N64 collection, good luck. Like, that one game right there is the cost of all the other N64.
Yeah, that's true.
You could probably get almost the whole 64 library for about what that one costs, if not way less.
Wow. Yeah, N64 complete, like all the other games are pretty cheap and common, so it's a doable thing if you're not counting Clay Fighter.
John Hancock has one.
Yep.
Complete collection.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The other game that he had a hard time finding was the, it's like a sports soccer title. It's like Super Soccer 2000 or some shit like
that. Which is so random. Like, who would think of a sports title being so rare? It's weird.
There's a couple of them out there. Like, I think there's one on the original Xbox that was released for like 3 months or something. There's
one on the Saturn.
Like a sports title that's rare?
It's the Daytona.
Some basketball game on the GameCube too. One of those NBA games. Pretty hard to get to.
Is it like George Foreman boxing for the Sega Master System or something like that? Wasn't that super? Or it's something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like one of the hardest games to find.
Fuck, what the hell's the name of it? I know what one you're talking about.
Yeah, it's super rare. It's like the hardest game to find. Like, it's worth as much as the whole collection, probably.
Oh, and there's Buster. Is that what it? Buster Douglas?
Buster Douglas, yeah, boxing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny when you mentioned George Foreman, the only thing I could think of was the grill. I'm thinking, what kind of game would that be? Grilling up burgers.
Any other questions?
I have lots. I mean, you want to know?
Fire away. Absolutely. It's your fun.
All right.
But who's winning?
I don't know.
We're
not
winning. We're all winners.
All right. And this one's kind of easy, but this is another one of my favorites. And this is going to be a quote from the instruction manual. And then you have to guess the game.
Hmm.
All right. At this moment, 5 more house guests, all unattached, beautiful females between the ages of 16 and 19, are on their way to the winery estate at the Martin's invitation. Capture anyone or anything that may endanger the guests. Do not trap the women.
Oh, I got that.
What?
I think so. I think I got that. Go ahead, Pete.
I mean, my guess would be Night Trap.
Yeah, that's what my guess would be. Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow, it sounds so sleazy, though. It's so weird.
It really does. Well, it came out in 94, so I'm pretty sure when I was reading that then, I was like, I don't know. It's probably awesome.
It's a game that caused the ESRB, too, right? I mean, it basically caused the rating system that we have today, for the most part.
Right. That and Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
And Phantasmagoria was another one that caused some controversy back then.
What's the best full motion video boobies you've ever seen?
Are there actually boobies in that game? Really?
No, they're in bras.
Oh. They are ages 16 to 19, guys.
Oh, damn.
Wow. That's awkward.
Now I feel bad. Now I'm really
good. In the manual.
I thought one of them went on to become like a pretty famous actress, right?
Didn't it? Well, that one chick was from Different Strokes.
Okay.
Yeah. I think. But I don't actually own the game. Who on this podcast owns the game?
I do.
What, Night Trap?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I play it every day, so I can't really answer.
Don't lie.
I know. I have a feeling it's one of those games where it's probably not nearly as racy as they were led to believe.
No, it's not.
Okay. 16 to 19. Cool. All right. I feel like an idiot.
I know. Awkward silence.
Very.
Awkward that is.
Should we do one more?
Sure. I'm game.
Let's hit it.
All right. The PlayStation was not Sony's first foray into the home console market. What was the name of the standardized computer architecture developed by Microsoft for which Sony released hardware and games?
Whoa. I don't know.
Hmm.
I don't know.
So it's a Microsoft architecture that Sony released games for?
I think I have...
I'm going to take a guess.
I think I have a guess.
Here. I can guess.
All right, sweet. What are you guys' guesses?
I'm going to guess DirectX.
Oh, bullshit. That was my guess. Really, it was, though. That's why they named it the Xbox, because it's based off that. The original Xbox.
Nope. Is it the MSX?
Yep. That's correct. The MSX.
Oh. Come on, Jason. Let's go get a cheeseburger.
God.
Nice job, John. Jeez.
Thank you. All these console questions. You know, that's my foray.
Yeah, Mr. Console.
That's true. You own most of these consoles, so that's
yeah.
It's not fair. Bastard. I'm just jealous.
Sweet. Nice job, guys. That was fun.
Yeah, thank you fun. For the good questions.
Awesome. Yeah, for sure.
I'd love to come to your trivia night.
It's super fun, and there's lots of beer.
Ooh.
Ooh, nice.
Maybe I'll get a plane ticket someday.
Good beer?
Well, it's an Irish pub. They usually have lots of local stuff on tap, so...
So now at PAX, though, there's not going to be beer, is there? See, I'm focusing on beer.
Unfortunately, I know that was like the biggest downside of the one at SRGE. No beer.
I know, because you are a big beer drinker. I actually follow you on Twitter, and you're always like checking in at like local pubs and shit and drinking beer. It's awesome.
I drink a lot of beer. I'm kind of turning into a beer snob, but I think I'm okay with it.
What's your beer of choice?
I really like darker beers, particularly like browns and stouts and porters. But recently I'm on quite a big black IPA kick.
Nice.
I've just recently started raising my IBU intake. So I can... And IBUs are the International Bitter Unit. And that, at least to me, I don't know what really it means, but it's kind of like how hoppy the beer is.
Oh, okay. So bitter beer face.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh.
So I've been trying a little bit more like IPAs lately. And it's going okay. I don't have as high a tolerance as a lot of people, but oh well.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of really bitter beers, but you know, some people though are just passionate about them. That's all that they'll drink, right?
Yeah, yeah. My boyfriend, he has these beers, and I'm like, oh, I want to try it. And the second I pick it up, he's like, you're not gonna like that. Tastes like a tree branch.
Yes, that's fun.
You ever experimented home brewing?
I actually just did. We have one batch that is almost ready. It was just bottled. So, nice. And hopefully like a week or two, it'll be ready. So nice. It's a black IPA. So I'm pretty excited to see how it turned out. I've never homebrewed before. It's my first time. So
yeah, I've been homebrewing for a while. It's fun. It's fun. The first batches just kind of, I don't know, you probably did good, but I can tell you my first batches were awful, like skunky, just because you're learning and, you know, you gotta keep everything sanitary, super sanitary. Otherwise it gets better. Yeah.
Yeah. We had a pretty good teacher because his dad started homebrewing like a year ago. So he kind of like walked us through the steps, and so it was really fun. So hopefully we're going to start doing our own homebrewing once we get an apartment that's not the size of a shoebox.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Awesome.
A buddy of mine, Drunken Master Paul, used to do some homebrewing, and man, that was the highest alcohol beer. Oh my God. I'd be wasted at his house. It was brutal. Tasty beers, but man, whew. I think brain cells died those days.
That's good. Cool. Old some malt liquor.
Yeah, really. 40.
I don't know when Army of Two 40th Day came out. I played at co-op with my boyfriend, and we made a rule that we could only play it if we were drinking 40s.
Oh, like old school 40s, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they were always like Steel Reserve or something awful.
That's awesome.
But malt liquor.
I get such a headache off of malt liquor, though. Oh, my God.
I don't know if it helped, but we did trash it up a little bit and drink it down to the label and then fill it back up with orange juice.
Huh.
Make it last a little bit longer.
That's interesting. That's pretty funny.
Army of Two 40th Day. It was pretty fun.
Well, it's been a while since we got together, guys. I'm kind of curious what everyone's been sort of playing. So many games have come out.
Well, go ahead. You want to start? Jason, go for it. What have you been playing?
Well, I'm actually kind of curious about Pete, because Pete's the one who always buys all the latest games.
That's true.
I like more and more is that Mr. Pete is on Steam, and I like seeing his little name pop up and his little
online by accident status. That shit keeps signing me in, and I'm too lazy to sign myself up.
Shit, I'm all excited. Like, Pete's right there, he's right close to me.
Well, I did play a game on Steam, actually.
Yeah, see, I knew it.
And it's a game that like is totally not for everybody, but it's going to be one of those games that you're going to see mentioned a lot, like towards the end of the year, for like games you should play from, you know, 2013. I played Gone Home. Have any of you heard of this?
Oh, I've heard of it. It's new, isn't it?
Yeah, it's I can't really talk much about it without spoiling it, but it's a game that's only on the PC, and you play as this girl that returns home. You start the game up, you don't know from where exactly from the start. You just know she's returning home, and there's a note on the door from someone that you're not sure who it is from the start. That says, you know, I'm not here, don't bother looking for me, hopefully I'll see you again someday, something to that effect. And you go inside, and it's your home, your family's home, and no one's there, and you just wander around, and it's sort of like an adventure story driven game where all you do is you just go around this house, which is huge, by the way. It's, you know, sort of like a not a mansion, but it's definitely a house that if it was a real house would probably cost like $1 million. Like, it's pretty damn big. No combat, nothing like that. It's not like a horror game, but the sound design in there can be creepy at times. And you just interact with stuff. You open drawers, you read letters, and you piece together the story for yourself. And, you know, I can't say anything about the story because it would spoil it. But I'd say it's worth playing. Now, the only downside is you can beat this game in, like, anywhere from, I'd say, 1 to 3 hours, depending on how much you actually look around at different things in the game. But the game is $20. So if you're the kind of person that, like, looks at it like a rental, or if you're buying a movie, you know, $20 for a movie, you watch it once, you're lucky if you go back a second time, then you'll probably enjoy it. But if you're the kind of person that looks for, like, the most bang for your buck, avoid this game until, like, the next Steam sale. But it's definitely worth trying. You know, it's got some really impressive graphics and textures, especially when you're picking up and examining everything. Everything is handwritten, like the notes you find around the house. Totally worth playing. Really interesting, but not for everybody. And the problem is, if you look up spoilers, like, there's no point to even playing the game. So if you look up what the game is about, you probably just, it's not even worth it to buy it anymore. So that's the fun in it, you know, figuring out what the hell is going on.
Huh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, $20 cool. For a couple hours, so that's pretty steep.
Yeah, I didn't expect it to be that much, because, like, I was seeing a lot of people talking about it, and I'm like, well, you know, I'll check it out. I saw it's $17.99 on sale, and I'm like, my God, that's a lot for a pretty short game. But I wanted to experience it while it was still fresh, and I don't know, I just wanted to play something one night for an hour or two. So, Recommended. Jason 90. I mean, the story, I don't know. I can tell you what it's about after this podcast is over, but, like, I don't know. It's definitely a story not for everybody, that's for sure. Mm. But it's well told. Mm. Really, really good character development. I also, big news. Like, super big news.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my goodness. Spill that drum roll. Can we get a drum roll, please?
Shit. I don't even have the soundboard today.
What?
Let me go get my real snare. I'll do it.
There you go.
Yep.
What is it, Pete? I'm dying.
So, the sequel to my most played game of all time, well, sequel in quotes, is out.
Oh, I know what this is.
Yeah, Final Fantasy 14, A Realm Reborn. I've been playing that. I've also been playing, no, Final Fantasy 14, A Realm Reborn is, for those that don't know, a complete reworking of probably one of the biggest failures in, like, gaming history. The original Final Fantasy 14, everybody knows the story behind that. They reworked the game from scratch, essentially, and you can tell there's a big difference. I could tell you it's going to be another one of those MMOs where I play it for, like, a month, like every other MMO I've tried playing ever since 11. And probably I'll probably stop playing after a few months, to be honest. It's a good game, though. Like, it just doesn't have that feel like 11 had for me the first time I played that. But I did start an All-Gen Gamers Guild or Link Shell on there, so anybody that wants to play, on the Lamia server, L-A-M-I-A, and currently a lot of servers are no longer allowing new players. This is one of the few that still is, so if you want to play, get in on it soon. And just send me a message in-game. Name is Pete Door. Pete, space door. And I'll get you in the guild.
Hmm.
But it's so fast-paced, and it holds your hand. It's like, you level up so fast, and everything is just so, like, easy. Like, I'm getting experience left and right for, like, doing absolutely nothing. I kind of miss the old school days of 11, or, like, even EverQuest when I played that on the PS2, like, having to actually work to level up. MMOs just don't do that anymore these days. But, yeah, I don't want to talk too much about 14. Because I also played a bit of the new Mario and Luigi game on 3DS, which, man, I had to really try hard to start playing it. Like, every time I tried playing it, it was really late at night when I was tired. I literally had to start this game up like 3 or 4 times to make it an hour in. And it's not like it's a terrible game, but man, is it slow to start. Like, it just wasn't gripping me. Mm. So right now I'm about 2 hours in.
What don't you like about it?
I don't know. It's not like I don't like it. It's just, I had a really hard time getting into it at first. Like, the writing in those games are really known for being quite comical, but nothing was like really as funny as they were in past games. And it's one of those games where it assumes that you've never played an RPG before in your life, so like they really try and explain everything to you. And I just want to get down to the damn gameplay and start like leveling up and get into the meat of the story, but it takes a while to get going.
Now these are the games where it's like real time combat, like Mario and Luigi are on the left and the enemies on the right. Yeah.
Yeah, and the combat in this one is, I can tell it's gonna be really good. Like the moves are so over the top. Like the kind of neat little gimmick behind this one is you enter Luigi dreams and you enter Luigi's dream or something. Now, you know, give me a break here, because I'm not really far into it, so I'm not sure if it changes, but you enter the Luigi's dreams, and instead of having Mario and Luigi in these dream sequences fighting like one at a time, you sort of gain extra powers from Luigi, and they're pretty over the top, and it's pretty funny. Like the combat in this is definitely a mix between like button pressing action, like real time, where you have to time your button presses, and like turn-based combat. So, you know, anybody that's played Super Mario RPG on the Super Nintendo, think that, but like super over the top. But it's overall, the combat is very similar to the past games in the series from like Game Boy Advance and DS. Hmm. And that's about all I can remember that I've been playing. I also played a bit of a game on the 3DS eShop called Dig, Steam something, I don't remember the name of it. I don't know. I don't have much to say about it because I haven't played it too much, but it's worth trying out if you're into sort of like, I don't know, it's a weird game where, think of it like a Castlevania Metroid game, or dare I say Metroidvania, except instead of there being a static map that's like predetermined, you make your own map by digging. So I guess it's similar to like, I don't play those kind of Minecraft Terraria games, but I'd assume it's something like that, but more with like a narrative and a story to it. So it's worth checking out. And that's it for me.
This is on the 3DS store?
3DS eShop exclusive as of right now.
Huh. Cool. Kinsey, what have you been playing lately?
Lately, I've been playing a lot of Dragon's Crown. And I'm loving it. I kind of want to been thinking about switching up my character lately and trying something different. I'm playing it through co-op. And I don't know, I love it. I love Shadows over Mystara. So it's pretty reminiscent of that.
What class did you start as?
I'm playing as an elf.
See, I started as a sorceress because I'm like, I always play the physical like damage dealing classes in every one of these kind of games. So I'm like, I'm going to start sorceress because she looks interesting. And, you know, I beat the game with her and I just wasn't feeling it. And I restarted as the dwarf. He's fun, but I don't know. I wasn't feeling it until I started as the fighter. Once again, I end up as typical fighting classes, but those are just, anytime I start a game like that, I always play as the physical characters, but it is really good. That game is, I need to play it some more. Especially
it's wonderful online. So far.
How many times do you typically play through it? I mean, it sounds like it's a game designed to start over, right?
Yeah, I would definitely think so, especially if you want to build up several different kind of character classes. And what's kind of cool about it is I'm playing through it co-op, but my boyfriend who I'm playing with is also kind of playing his own game, and he just plays up to where we're at co-op, and then he joins back into my game. So that's kind of cool how you can still go off and level up your character, but you can keep it within the same story of your co-op playing.
And it should be noted that that's exclusive to the PS3 version, so if you buy it on the Vita, you won't be able to do any sort of local co-op like that. So make sure you buy it on the PS3
if you're looking to do that. I just bought on Vita today.
Did you really?
Yeah,
but you're not going
to
do.
You're supposed to call Pete first before you buy anything.
No, you don't have to worry though, because you can do online multiplayer just fine. It's just the local stuff.
I bought it to take with me to PAX on the flight and shit. You know, I wanted to check it out. So
yeah, it'll be fun. You just won't be able to do local.
That's fine. Okay.
But you won't be able to play with anybody that on the PS3. It's not cross console, which is unfortunate.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah, that is unfortunate because like my little brother, he's like, oh, I just got Dragon's Crown to play, and I was like, okay, and he's like, what's your Vita stuff? And I was like, oh, nope, sorry. But yeah, I've been playing that recently. I dusted off my old Commodore 64.
Oh,
there you go. I know, because I've never really played around with them much. So I don't know. All of a sudden I was like, we're going to do this tonight. It's Commodore night. So we found out we only owned two games for it. So we were mostly playing Aegean Voyage. And it was pretty fun. I don't think my boyfriend wanted to play with me anymore because I kept winning. But whatever.
Rage quit.
Pretty much. He's like, I don't want to play anymore.
That's so funny.
I have another trivia question for the Commodore 64 you can borrow. How many software programs and games were released for the Commodore 64 in this lifetime?
Oh my God. 10,000.
Look at this guy.
A lot. Crap loads. A decade's worth. It was a lot.
It's like asking how much shovelware is made for Wii. That's true. We have no idea.
What did Mel Jesus, what did you say first?
I want to say 10,000.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, it's a lot.
10,000.
Jeez.
Yeah. Collecting for the Commodore is pretty interesting because but the thing is that there was a lot of games for it, but the vast majority of it that you'll find is all pirated. I almost never see actual Commodore games in the wild unless you go to like an expo.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, because even as a kid, I pirated games too. That's sort of what you did. But yeah, there's shitloads of games for it. So, you know, it's funny you mentioned the Commodore because lately I've been itching to play one of my favorite platforming games for the Commodore, which was Bruce Lee. And if you run across a copy of Bruce Lee, it sounds like it'd be stupid, but man, that game is awesome on the Commodore. Really fun.
Sounds awesome.
Nice. Yeah.
I really want to play Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy on it. Mm. That's been my big thing. Partly the reason why I brought it out, because I'm like, I want to, you know, play all this stuff on here, and then I'm going to buy that. It's going to be amazing.
Do you have the floppy, too? Floppy drive for it?
I don't. That's okay. Like the one. I need that before I can play Hitchhikers.
Yeah.
Yeah, and okay, so those games you have are just on the cartridge then, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Those are cool.
Huh. So, yeah, if you're interested in collecting for the Commodore 64, there's a website. You probably already know about it, but it's called lemon64.com. And they have, it's a repository for everything Commodore, from the manuals to the disk images. And then they have a lot of great sections on there for like the top 10, the top 50 best games on the Commodore. And it's a pretty decent list. So if you're looking for like suggestions for things to buy, check out Lemon 64. It's awesome.
That's awesome. I'm on it now.
Mm-hmm. Did you say it was a depository?
Yeah, a suppository.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right. I was like, what in the world?
I'll pre-order that.
Shit. Might feel uncomfortable, but yeah, why not? All right, cool. What else have you been playing?
That's pretty much it besides the obligatory Animal Crossing.
Nice. Oh, yeah. On what system? Oh, on 3DS.
On 3DS, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm pretty lazy when it comes to that game, so.
It's just fun, though, right? Just to run around and do stuff?
It's super fun for the first, like, I don't know, 2 weeks to a month. But then after a while, I start getting really lazy. I'm like, all I'm trying to do is pay off my house. To get another loan.
And do you feel like if sometimes if you're a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks away from it, do you feel like if I go back in, I have so much to do because you've got roaches in your house, you've got weeds to pull, you've got all sorts of things to take care of out there. You got to talk to all your neighbors. Your neighbors are like, where have you been? We were so scared and nervous. We didn't know where you went.
Does that really happen?
Or is that just me?
Oh, no, that's, I definitely feel you there.
Okay.
Sometimes I don't want to go back.
Yeah, because I'm like, I don't know what they're going to say to me.
They're all going to be mad. Some of them might not even be there.
Yeah, I know some people move out and you're like, where'd they go? And they're like, oh, they moved like a month ago.
Yep.
Okay. Just curious.
Wow, that's interesting. Now, Jason, didn't you, and I know this is on an earlier podcast where you talked about how you fired up like the GameCube version or something like that. There it was. Some old version just to see if people were still alive or something.
I've done that occasionally. Yes.
What was it? What version was it?
Well, I mean, I have played the GameCube version. I played it when it came out and I was like, this game's stupid. And I never played it again. But then when it came out for Wii, I got it. And then my parents started playing it is the whole story. Mm-hmm. And my parents just fell in love with it. Like even today, I talked to my parents this morning. My dad was up harvesting stuff. He was watering his plants. He was, I mean, every day for the, since about 2009, maybe every day he gets up in the morning and my mom and dad, they sit there and they go through their thing. He's got like 300 million bells. He's got some crazy number. He owns everything. He's put every single thing you can in the aquarium and the, what am I looking for? Were you, the museum? He's put like artifacts and bugs and everything in the museum. He's hardcore. He is the most hardcore animal droppings player I've ever seen. And I love it because I'll sit there and just watch him. He's got like 10 golden shovels. If anyone knows what the golden shovel, you have to, in order to get the golden shovel, you have to throw in your shovel into the fountain at like the right time, the sun has to be at the right place, or I don't know, people have to be in the right spot. It happens like once every like 200 throws. And he's got like 10 of them. The guy's nuts. Big shout out to you, Big Nell, in the house. He's crazy. But yeah, so that's what happened. But like mine, I haven't logged in for, last time I logged in, it was because my dad called and said, "Hey Jay, can you open up your gate?" I'm like, "Why?" He's like, "I want to come and throw some bells in your house. I got too much." So I logged in on my Wii. I logged in, I opened up my gate, which allows people to online join and come into my world. So he came in and I just see him. I'm watching my TV. I see him come in. I see him just walk over there and just drop money bags. Boom, 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 all on the grass. And he's like, "Okay, see you later." And he just took off. And I'm like, you know what? That's awesome. That is awesome. But yeah, my place is a mess. There's roaches everywhere. Weeds are crazy. Yeah, that's animal droppings. It sure is a fun game. I'm too scared to go back.
Wow, that's funny.
Yeah.
It seems like one of those games, though. I mean, I still want to get the 3DS one. I mean, I've tried the one on the GameCube. And I played it for a bit, but then I just kind of died off and I never bothered with the DS or the Wii one because I never liked how they changed the camera view from like that top down to sort of like that weird like globe that kind of rotates. I just, I don't know, something about that just turned me off. And it just seems like Animal Crossing on the 3DS is one of those games where you want to get in on the game when it's new, when all your friends are playing, because it seems like it's most fun when you can trade and go online with friends. And then once that opportunity kind of goes away, it's not as enjoyable. So I don't know.
Jason Heine, I've never played an Animal Crossing game, right? So which one do you recommend to get into?
Pick up City Folk for Wii.
Okay.
For sure. I think it's, okay. And I'm not just saying that because, you know, that's the one that I know the most, but I think it's the most... See, like with Pete, he doesn't like it because the camera angle.
No. Well, see,
I didn't know any different. I mean, really, played the GameCube one maybe 30 minutes. I'm like, what? This was a long time ago, of course. I wasn't into that type of a game. But yeah, I think the Wii remote works good for it, pointing where you want to walk. And I like it. The interface is nice. That's my recommendation. I'd pick that up.
Okay.
My recommendation, even though I haven't played it, I'd say go with the 3DS one. And that's only because it's based on all the things I've heard from so many people where they're like, "I couldn't get into the other Animal Crossings, but this one, I don't know what it is. I just can't stop playing." So I don't know, just based on what I've heard about this 3DS one, John, you might want to go with that one.
Okay.
So get the one for the Wii.
Well, I don't know. I
mean, no, here's the thing.
But it might put a bad taste.
No, this is bullshit. This is bullshit. No, you travel a lot, John. So you probably should get the one for 3DS. It's a much better game from what I hear anyway than City Folk.
As long as I get it, and then Pete doesn't say, "Oh, by the way, you have an exclusive thing on the fucking Wii version."
They're like, if you get the Wii version,
If you get the Wii version, you play local, and you can't do that when you play the Vita. I'm like, what the fuck?
Oh my god!
So cool. Here it is, John. Buy both.
Buy both.
There you go.
Cool. All right, I'll check them out.
I just missed that in the GameCube one. You could get like the original Nintendo games and play them.
Yeah.
Like in my 3DS one, I have like this crappy arcade machine that beeps when I walk up to it.
Yeah, that's all it does.
Can't play it.
Yeah. And another series I haven't really got into was Mario Party and any of those, you know. So I know Jason Heine cringes every time I say that because you love it, but like I don't know which
one. Love Mario Party.
Yeah, absolutely. What's your favorite one, Kinsey?
I think I've always liked the second one the best because they wear the adorable little costumes in all the levels. And I like any of the ones on the 64. Better than the other ones anyways.
So you like that long rounder.
Yeah.
I love it. They're like, In the beginning Mario parties, they're like, do you want to play long play or light play? And I'm like, well, let's play light play. Light play is fucking 30 rounds. What is that? It's an hour and a half if you were to sit there and play it. You know, fixed that later on, but wow. Light play.
Some of those turns are really long.
Yeah.
Like when you can get up to like playing for like 50 turns, which is like the max in a lot of the games.
Yep. Have you done it before?
Insane. Yeah. Yeah. I own every single Mario Party. And probably a year or two ago, I went through and I started with the first one and I just played through, like unlocked all the characters and then moved on to the next one. Played all the levels, unlocked all the characters, moved on to the next one.
Yeah, that's a commitment.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, hell yeah. They're great games. A 50 rounder is about 4 hours, roughly.
What? Now, is this a game you can play? Can you play it in single player?
Yeah.
You can, and some of them have their own like separate single player mode, some of the newer ones.
Mm.
So that's cool.
I'm still waiting for a Mario Party game with online.
Oh my god, please. God. Please.
Even the one on 3DS is still going to be local only, I believe. Like, come on, Nintendo.
It's really a missed opportunity. I keep saying this with them.
I'm looking at the Wikipedia right now. It's like, come on. Like, do they realize how many copies they'd probably sell, especially with like the online communities today, where like how many more people would probably buy Mario Party if it had online? Because let's face it, most people these days, you know, Jason Heine, you can't get together with like a group of three other friends and play local multiplayer Mario Party. Like, you know, you need online these days.
You really do. Yeah. It's another game that started out wanting you to be, you know, on the couch with all your friends, and it just ruled it. It was amazing. It still is. It's nothing better than it. But we moved into a world where if we want to have a Mario party, that's, come on, let's get online. Let's do that. Let's have that. It's ridiculous. I've been saying that since Mario Party 8. I've been like, come on, where's online?
How many are there?
There's 9 total.
Okay.
What do you think of 9? Because I didn't like it.
It wasn't my favorite. I didn't like how you like, I actually only played it one time and you're just kind of going in the little car with everybody. And I don't know. I wasn't a fan.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I was super excited when I heard about it. And then the more I heard, I was like, oh, I don't know about this.
Yeah.
The old ones are better.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
You know what I would love to get a hold of, even though, you know, it doesn't make sense to have it now, but. Well, maybe it would, but I would love to get one of those gloves that Nintendo sent people that wrote in about, like, the ripped palms from, like, Mario Party 1.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Remember, like, Jason, like, if you wrote into them about that, like, wouldn't they send you a glove in the mail or something like that?
Yeah, they sent you a glove. I actually, even back in the day, I had them, they sent me out, was it a whole controller? I think it was a whole controller once. It was either that or the joystick.
It just destroys the controllers, that game.
yeah, exactly. It does. It really does. But I think they did. They sent you out like a little padded glove or something that you could wear. That they never sold. But yeah.
Now that's a collector's item.
It's like Michael Jackson.
Huh, wow.
Right on. That's interesting. So cool.
Gamestead, what have you been playing?
Well, you guys hear about this Humble Bundle that they put out? It's actually just got 17 hours, 16 hours left. You guys hear about this?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, so I bought that.
Well, what's in it? Because I haven't heard of it.
Okay, so you can get Dead Space 1, Burnout Paradise, the Ultimate Box, Crysis 2, Maximum Edition, Mirror's Edge, Dead Space 3, Medal of Honor, CNC Red Alert 3 Uprising, Battlefield 3, Populous, and The Sims 3 Starter Pack. For $5, pretty much all those games.
So no, it's not part of Steam. You buy it on a separate website.
You buy it through them, and they'll give you a Steam code
or an origin code.
Yeah,
so it's worth a Mirror's Edge alone. People, Christ,
yeah,
play that game.
Yeah, for sure. But the main game I've been playing most recently is Jason. I sent you a link. Facebook. Are you able to play something, or is your board set up?
Well, I'm plugging in my phone as we speak. Actually, I'll get it queued up.
Okay, I sent him a link. I want a little intro for this little song I've been playing.
Oh, an intro? Okay, hold on.
Got in the mood for this game, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. It's like all sexy.
He's in the mood.
Sexy.
Just a minute here. Let me cue it up. Oh shit, yeah. Okay, hold on, here we go.
This is the cut right here. This is the cut.
Life is like a hurricane in Duckburg. Stars, lasers, aeroplanes. It's a
hold on, we gotta wait for Pete's favorite part, so hold on.
Might solve a mystery.
Come on, Pete.
Or rewrite history.
Sing it.
DuckTales.
Woohoo.
That's Pete's part. He loves that. It's his favorite part.
So yeah, been playing DuckTales Remastered quite a bit. Actually,
yeah. How is it actually? Because I still haven't bought.
It's good. I got on PC. It's released now. Do you guys hear about the PS3 supposedly physical reversion of this game? You guys hear about the whole like letdown on that?
No. So they released. Oh yeah, yeah.
So they released a physical. I'm doing quotes here. Physical release of this game. Basically, it's a what it is. It's the box, and then it has a piece of paper with a code. To download.
Forget the pin. You get a pin.
Oh, you get a pin. Yeah, you get a pin.
Don't they charge like $10 extra or something?
Some bullshit, yeah. Like, it's stupid. So,
it's no like a slap in the face to collectors. Like, you want that physical edition? Here you go.
Yeah.
Have this nice piece of paper, you putz.
It is a lot of fun. You know, it's different than the original in the sense that there's like two new stages and they've kind of changed a lot of the boss battles a little more challenging. And the gameplay is a lot more easy. Like, I don't know if you guys remember the original NES game where to pogo stick, you had a jump and then push B and then down at the same time and hold, you know, this is different. This is just you jump and you push the action button and you're pogo sticking. So it's a lot more simple to play. Obviously the soundtrack is better improved. I prefer the original one because the nostalgia reasons behind it, but this is a really fun game. I'm actually looking forward to Castle of Illusion coming out in a couple weeks.
Looking forward to that. Yeah. I can't.
Yeah. Wait. Yeah, but no, this is definitely worth checking out. $15, but yeah, the whole retail release, that's what a joke.
That's. Do you think that will be collectible even?
Yes.
I mean, because we're talking about manuals that sell for $1,000, that seems like it might be collectible because very few people will buy it.
Yeah. The cool thing that they did here was when you collect gems, like the whole point is you obviously collect gems to the game like you do in the original, you can use that money in the game to unlock certain like parts of the game development, so like sketches from the game and soundtracks from the game and different like behind the scenes stuff from the game, which is kind of cool. But I wish they would have included like an unlockable version of the original game or maybe some episodes, or then they could have done really cool stuff with it, right? Mm-hmm. But they brought back the original voice actors from it, and the guy who's voiced Scrooge McDuck is like 93 years old right now, and they brought him back to do the original voice of Scrooge. Wow. So
how did he sound?
He sound great. Sound like the original, man. Sound like it's awesome. The mouths don't move in this cutscenes though, right? So it's like, and the cutscenes are kind of long. That's another thing that was kind of annoying about the game. It's kind of fun to watch the first time. Unfortunately, you can skip them. But like they explain how Scrooge can breathe on the moon by chewing gum, you know, moon gum. Like, who cares? Like, I never played this DuckTales game and like when I was like 8 and like, okay, why is Scrooge McDuck jumping on the moon and not doesn't have a spacesuit on? You know, who cares? I don't care about that shit, you know? But for some reason, they had to explain all that. But it's cool. I hope they bring back, like, Chip and Dale's. I hope they bring back all these classic Disney games. And because of that, actually got me in the mood to play the original DuckTales. And I beat DuckTales 2 on the NES, which is different. I played Little Mermaid on the NES, which sounds like a really weird game. But actually, it's a really good game. Have you guys played that before?
Yeah.
Little Mermaid. Yeah, it's a classic Capcom game. Definitely check it out. It's the best way I can explain it is kind of like Echo the Dolphin meets Bubble Bobble. You'll play it and you'll see what I mean by it, because your aerial, you're swimming around underwater like the Echo the Dolphin, but you have like your attack is like these bubbles and you shoot out these bubbles and your enemies will get into this bubble and you can actually throw your enemies and stuff like that. And the graphics are really good. It's a very Jason Melges, it is a gem, hidden gem on the NES.
Really?
I'm still in your quote. Yes, it's a hidden gem on the NES.
that'll be $5, sir. I'm sorry.
Cha-ching.
Are you ready for this? Sealed copies on eBay are selling for DuckTales between $35 and $40.
So these are the PlayStation 3 versions sealed.
Yeah. So people obviously want this thing, even though it's just a plastic box with a voucher code and a pin inside. But they're paying, you know, double, triple the value of what the game is digitally, so people want it.
That's funny. But that's pretty much it, what I've been playing. So, and I picked up two games today. I picked up Dragon Crown,
And can you guys guess the second game I picked up for the Wii U? The first Wii U game.
Hold on. We need a hint.
Give you a hint. Wii U.
Hot damn.
All right. Okay. All right. That's good enough. Pikmin 3.
Wii U. No.
What? John.
Wait. Hold on. Was there a new Wii U game out today?
It came out recently. I'm not sure. I don't think it came out. I think most Nintendo games come out on the week.
Hold on a second here. I remember
Pump those brakes.
I remember you bought Lego
City. Breaks.
Lego City Undercover, right?
Yes.
Okay, so it had to be between that and Pikmin 3, and it's not Pikmin 3?
No, it's not Pikmin 3.
And it's a new game.
Dude, yeah. You might as well just admit it's Pikmin 3, okay? You wouldn't
pick up that shitty Pikmin
Quit lying.
Fuck Pikmin. No, I'm sorry. I don't have any issues against Pikmin 3. But no, come on. You got Mario, right? New Super Mario Brothers.
You picked that Luigi game.
Which one?
The super brand new, spanking new, clean.
You mean the game came out 2 months ago and now Nintendo's releasing a physical
game. God, it's
and calling
so
it
long
new.
Ago.
They're calling,
yeah,
it,
calling new. It new. Really?
Yeah. You get a green case, which is why.
Green case, yeah, for $30. So, not bad. But
I have just one question and it will end all conversations.
Sure.
Is there the word new in it?
Yes, there's a word new.
Good show, guys. Thanks for being here. And we'll catch y'all later.
So I guess it's not new. Like, the game's been out for a while, but it's new as a physical format, right?
I'm just sick of that shit.
Yeah. So I picked that up.
How is it?
I picked it up, like, literally, like, at work, and I haven't had a chance to play it.
Oh, okay.
Yet, so.
Cool.
Gamester.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Wonder what people will say it's called in 20 years.
Yeah. When the game come out, like, on...
A couple months back. Yeah. It was so weird because I remember watching the Nintendo Direct and Nintendo's like, you can download it this day, but you can buy it in retail like 3 months later. I'm like, what? It doesn't make sense. Just release them at the same time.
Yeah.
And then they charge more money for the physical one, like, to encourage. Nintendo's just trying to push digital sales. That's why, like, they want people to buy it digitally first and encourage them more so because the digital version is even cheaper, which isn't working on us collectors. So take that, Nintendo.
The problem that just... God, it just really grinds my gears about that whole new name. I'm not over it yet. I just think it's stupid. I mean, they started with Super, and we thought that was funny at first. But yeah, then we got Super Mario, Super Metroid, Super Soaker. The shit is Super. That's fine. But then we have New. But guess what happens in a little bit, guys? I'm not sure if Nintendo's thinking this out clearly, because guess what happens in a little while? The shit gets old.
You're like upset.
Am I right though? I mean, can I get a witness on that? It's why would whatever
Super is forever.
Super, yeah, the shit is Super. That's always right now. I can go upstairs and I can grab. Oh, here's fucking, you know, Super Metroid. The game is Super.
After Super was 64, right? Like Super Mario 64.
Ultra.
Yeah.
You know, everything was 64. Wave Race.
Yeah. Okay.
And, you know, like,
okay. And that's borderline dumb. That's borderline dumb.
Okay.
You know, I give them, I don't know about that. You know, that's borderline stupid, you guys. And then they went to the new.
Yeah, but what's getting old?
And that's just batshit stupid.
What's old for me with these new Mario games is they're all the same damn thing. Like, yeah, the first new Super Mario Brothers was pretty cool because it was exciting, a new 2D Mario. But, like, every one of these new Super Mario Brothers games, they're so similar to one another. Like, I'm just getting tired of them. And the music sucks. I'm sorry, but the music in those games... It really gets on my nerves.
Isn't that like, bah, 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 bah.
Yeah, especially that, like, bah, you know, like, the shit's like singing along. Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, sounds like good someone's... games, but I can only take so much of them.
Yeah.
And I love Nintendo. And anyone, you know, you guys listen to the show, you know that I'm a big Nintendo fan. I just think they're slipping. They're slipping right now, and it's not right.
Not so right. Other than new, what should they do? Groovy? Nifty.
No, they need to come out with a new console. And they need to release some games for that console. Because the Wii U it's not cutting it. And that's not by my choice. That's by the public's choice. That's by their choice. They're not releasing the games for the thing. They're not dropping the titles they need to. They're not generating the interest that they need to.
So I didn't watch the last Nintendo Direct. Is there anything coming out? Was there anything sort of like, oh my God, I have to get a Wii U that's coming out, say, in the next 6 months?
I wish I watched it. I didn't see it.
Well, I mean, the new New in quotes, the new Wind Waker, which they're bundling with the system, which is pretty cool. Actually, there's, might help move them.
New they're Wind making Waker. That sequel for Link to the Past, right? For the 3DS?
Yeah, which it's actually, it really is a sequel because there was a video that someone did that, based on the footage they've released for that game so far, they compared it to the Super Nintendo original, and like for the most part, it's in this like the same world. So it really is a sequel to that game. It's not just like sequel story wise. It is in the Link to the Past world with some revisions.
See, that's cool.
I loved Link to the Past, so I'm pretty excited about this one.
Yeah.
So, okay, I have a question for you as an outsider looking in. What is it about Link to the Past that makes that sort of, if not the best? A lot of people say Ocarina of Time, but what is it about that game?
You know, I don't even know exactly what it is. I like that you can go between the worlds. I like the world itself. I like the, like, top-down view. The gameplay is really fun. Like, all the characters are really memorable and fun.
Music is
amazing. Yeah,
music was really good. There's just a lot about that game that was so much fun, especially, like, back in the day. Like, I don't know. I enjoyed it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It was like an earlier release for the Super Nintendo 2, if I remember. So like, I remember it being like one of the first games. I'm just being blown away by just the graphics and sound and everything else.
Yeah,
and
the world layout. The world layout was just probably one of the biggest things for me. Like just exploring that world. Loved it.
Yeah, like when it went into like mode 7 to like display it, I was like, holy shit. What am I seeing?
I loved the dark world was awesome.
Yeah.
Huh. So, I had no idea.
But I mean, outside of like first party releases by Nintendo, what third party excitement are you guys getting from the Wii U? You know, really.
The new sequel to, well, sequel in quotes to Xenoblade, that X game that they're coming out with, and that's it.
And I heard
like there's nothing that even comes to like, well, maybe the Wonderful 101 from Platinum Games that comes out in a couple of like a week or so.
Speaking of Xenoblade, did we ever talk about the whole GameStop bullshit?
We did. Yeah.
Oh no, but there's a new development.
Stop.
Are you ready?
Is there a new one?
Hit us. This will burst some bubbles. Right?
Oh jeez.
So Metal Jesus, especially you, because you covered this yourself. Rare like Wii games and shit.
Yeah.
So Xenoblade is not the only victim. They've now re-released, apparently found a whole bunch of this was one of the rarest Wii games, like selling on eBay for like $70 to $90. The Metroid Prime trilogy, the one that comes in like that, the metal case and everything, they were only in stores for like a few months before Nintendo stopped selling them.
You know,
GameStop has suddenly found brand new copies.
This is bullshit. This makes me really upset because like there's no fucking way that they found a bunch of those.
Oh, we just come and stumbled across them.
I mean, my God, there's just no way that they just, unless, do you really think that they actually just hoarded them for the past year on a corporate level? Would they?
That would be awful. Really? Like that game's awesome. They should. Yeah.
Did they really say? Like, did they really say, Pete, that they stumbled across them?
Yes. Or?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's not a direct quote, but like that's what they said. They found a warehouse full of them, or something.
Or even if they found a warehouse, that's bullshit.
They're calling them vintage too, aren't they?
Yeah, and they're charging $85 because that's the market value.
No, 2 years old.
Their website refers these games as vintage.
Yeah, I've like seen it too.
What the fuck? And so I'm literally on my eBay right now, like sold games. It was like Xenoblade selling for, like it was going for over 100, right? Now it's down to 50 to 70. It's just going to continue to drop.
Okay, so getting back to that one episode where we talked about this, the thing that was so weird for me is going and seeing it in a GameStop and there's a stack of them and they all had new. It sure looked pretty new to me. I've seen new before, but all of the stuff on the inside was brand new. The manual, the codes, it all, the disc, it all looked pretty damn new.
Were they shrink wrapped?
They were not shrink wrapped.
You should have smelt it, Jesus. That was
but you know what? Smell test.
That's true. But you know what I mean, though? Because it's hard to tell, because often when you buy a new game, the cellophane's removed on some of their games that they have that little clear sticker over it. And because I've bought games there before, and I know I probably shouldn't be going into a GameStop, but occasionally I do, especially when doing some of these hidden gems things, and it's cheap to get Wii games there, but it's just
No, there's no two ways
about it.
No, there's no. They were definitely new, and they just open them up and sell them as used, so they make more. Because if they're new, they can't charge, you know, $90. You know,
they can't do it. Yeah.
You know what would be really pissed people off is if they announce like they're coming out with Earthbound. They found a whole bunch of Super Nintendo Earthbound carts, and all of a sudden,
oh my gosh.
They're gonna start selling. If they could get away with it, they would. I would
seriously go to Lowe's and ask them where their pitchfork aisle is and buy three or four of them. I would.
Sega finds a warehouse filled with Panda Dragoon Saga.
Yeah, exactly. Magically, it's her appearance.
It's a new fad. Oh, the market value 400. Yeah, there you go.
We came across a warehouse.
Sega.com.
Bullshit.
Well, it does look like on their website, their Metroid trilogy used is on sale for $70.
Oh, God.
All right. Yeah,
marked down from $85.
Now,
I don't know if people are buying it, probably.
Are there any in our area that sell them, that have them in stock?
Let me take a look.
I'm sure every single one of them has it.
That's bullshit.
It really is. What kind of world are we living in?
they're controlling the demand. They're causing a false demand for it. And they're jacking up prices because of it. You know, they're holding that stock. You know,
well, I could see them doing that with Xenoblade because that was exclusive to GameStop and Nintendo.com. But Metroid Prime Trilogy was everywhere.
Yeah. Okay. So there is one. Literally, so there's a copy of Metroid Trilogy 2 miles away from my house right now.
Whereas before you couldn't find that game anymore.
No, oh, God, no. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 copies within 10 miles of my house right now. And, okay, fuck, dude. Dude,
everyone has it, looks like.
Every single store in our Seattle area, the Puget Sound area, has a copy.
But they're all low stock, guys.
Yeah, so they all got one or two copy. There's no way that they found all that.
No. That's just in your friggin' area.
This is just literally there's how many here? There's probably 40, 50 copies. And you can keep loading 8 more stores. Tacoma. Now we're down to Tacoma, Wenatchee.
They would have had to come across hundreds of thousands of them.
Yeah. They printed these.
Oh, God. I fucking hate them.
They printed these. So, yeah, because you keep clicking more and more. Now we're in Shelton, Washington,
hate them.
Federal Way.
What's bullshit, though, is because they're selling it used, and we talked about this earlier, is they... developer and publishers are not getting money for it. They're getting all the pocket. They're getting all the money because right. So they're screwing the fucking.
But that doesn't make sense. How GameStop doesn't have the right to just go and print those games. Nintendo must have, unless they're like working on some secret shady deal with Nintendo or something where like Nintendo's getting some of the money. But how can GameStop be like, all right, let's make these games? Like they can't. So maybe they are telling the truth and maybe they did have a warehouse of these like just sitting around with. In GameStop warehouses or something,
but here,
and then they just opened them up and sold them used.
There you go. You just skimmed over it. Here's the problem: they opened them up. The thing is, we have to figure out the biggest problem with this is one. Here's two. There's two things. The biggest problem here is one: where the fuck did these come from? That's going to solve a lot. And two: why did you open them up?
Right.
Those are the two big problems. Are you printing them? Are the developers in on this too? You know, I doubt that.
Well,
why are you opening them?
I think if that's the case. So, because I think I kind of agree with Pete. It's really suspicious that they would print up potentially thousands of copies of games and sell them so openly. Because Nintendo, I mean, if I was Nintendo, and
Nintendo has to be in on this.
So, but here's the question though. If this works out and people do buy these copies, they're going to do that for lots of games. Like another example would be Killer's Dead, right? That's a Grasshopper game that came out this week. Probably won't sell that many copies because it's kind of a niche title. GameStop will do that for a game like that easily. They'll basically print up a certain number of them, sell them for maybe about 3 or 6 months. Then they'll magically go out of print. You won't be able to find them in any GameStops, no matter where you live. And then maybe say a year from now, when the prices are going up on eBay and that Killer is Dead is now worth about $80 to collectors, they'll magically find a bunch of them and they'll re-release them in all the GameStops at $80. Mark my words.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
Not to bum everybody out, but I see the Go. In other words, go buy Killer's Dead if it's good. I have no idea.
Yeah, it's getting like mediocre reviews. I'm gonna wait. Like it's to that point. You know, the new consoles are coming. I'll wait until the holidays, Black Friday, when that game's like $20 on Amazon. You know.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that's the kind of game where they could do that with. You know, potentially.
I fucking hate them.
You know, the past couple of times I've gone into a GameStop, I have not bought anything unless I went in there specifically for a new game that I didn't want to wait for from Amazon or something. Like, they have nothing for me anymore. I used to go in there for their DS games and their PSP games. They don't have those anymore. There's nothing for me. Like, even the new 360 stuff, like, I could see maybe having some fun, like, looking around at, like, some of the old, real cheap 360 games. But at least in my area, mm-hmm. like, it's just all the new stuff. Everything is new, like, brand new titles. Like, there's just, it's no fun to go in there anymore.
Yeah, have you noticed even their selection of their one bin that they have of $9.99 and under? If you notice that, it's all FIFA and Madden. There's not even interesting games in there.
So, do you guys have a large GameStop in your area? One that, because it sounds like you don't.
I mean, I have three, or no, I have three locally. They're not super huge, mm-hmm. but they're, you know, they're a decent size.
Well, the reason why I mention that is because In my area, and the reason why I even step into a GameStop is because, like, for instance, the one down in South Center, which is in Tukwila, pretty close to where I live, they do still have PSP games. And actually, they've got quite a few. And they're really dirt cheap. And they seem to be getting more. So it's kind of interesting because people, I think, are trading them in. And they have actually crap loads of games in there. I mean, the Wii section is huge. And it's all buy two, get one free half the time. The Xbox 360 section has more than sports games. You know, the games are cheap, you know, I mean, in the bargain bin section, you find some of the cheaper lower end games, but there are some to be found in there. Hmm. So Jason, when you fly in on Friday, maybe we'll hit it up.
Let's do it. Yeah. I'd like to see it. I'd like to go smack some people around.
Hey, speaking of this weekend, we probably should touch base on PAX, and I think we're planning on a meetup, right? We're doing 3:00 Saturday out in front like we did. Is that the deal?
Yeah. So 3:00 on Saturday, we're going to meet in the entryway, and I'll post on Pete's game room forum. I'll put a little picture there. So kind of like last year where people know exactly where to meet up. But 3:00 seems to work out pretty well because we looked at the schedule and I don't think we're going to be conflicting with too much that's going on, and it's before dinner. So I think that's a good time, but you don't have to have a ticket for PAX. So that's really key. Even if you couldn't get a ticket and you still want to come hang out and talk, swing by. We're looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. Right, Jason?
Yeah. Be there or be square. Yo,
I'm just looking forward to seeing like Xbox One and PS4. This weekend.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. That's definitely what I'm most excited about.
I'm kind of curious, is there a game that you're looking forward to that you think like kind of on the Xbox or the PlayStation 4?
Well, kind of the biggest games I'm looking forward to, I haven't actually had a lot of time to see what's actually going to be at PAX, so I'll be really surprised when I walk into the vendor hall, I guess. Mm-hmm. But the Dragon Age Inquisition, Fable Legends, the new Star Wars Battlefront, and Soul Saga is pretty much what I'm mostly looking forward to on the new systems. So
I'm really looking forward to the new Dragon Age as well. I think there's actually a panel discussion about that. They're dedicating an entire hour to it.
That would be amazing. So far, all the panels I've looked up that I really want to go to, all of them are during my panel. What the hell? I can't miss that one.
Sorry, I'm at a panel. I can't be in one.
Jason, that's what I wanted to mention to you is I'm sure you're gonna try and play Killer Instinct while you're at PAX if they have it playable, which I'm sure they will. Mm-hmm. I can bet you they're gonna have it done up like big screen announcers, like trying, you know, they're gonna try and play it up real big,
right?
You know, they need to get some positive press on that game, which I hope they do. But the new news is the pricing scheme for Killer Instinct. We all know it's going to be the game is free on Xbox One, but you only get one character,
Jago.
But which it's going to be stupid when you play that. Everybody's going to be playing as him online, so it's right. going to be really stupid. But you can spend, I think, it's $5 a character, and then they have like a $30 pack which gives you all the characters. I think it's 30 or 40. You get all the characters. And then there's like the super expensive pack, not expensive, but it's like 40 or 50, I think, that comes with all the characters, different skins. But the cool part is it actually comes with the original Killer Instinct arcade version for the first time on home consoles.
Cool. For the time on home console, folks.
Oh, that's awesome.
And right there, I'm all like, why would I want to buy? Why would I?
You know why you want to? Because if it has online, you could just destroy fucking kids.
That's what I was saying, though. Up until this point, I'm sitting here looking at it going, why would I? Why would I? Then they say,
Jason Heine, number one on the leaderboard.
Number one on the leaderboard. They've got the fucking original game on the arcade. That is the best port. It was never, ever. I mean, yeah, we had a Super Nintendo port, but it's not even close to the arcade port. It's worth every penny, folks. Right there. You better drop the money on that.
When's it coming out?
Launch.
It's a launch title. I hope that they have the arcade game online.
Oh, they... they probably won't. No,
I know,
they
don't, but...
They probably won't.
That would be amazing. Mm. That's good. The arcade port's incredible.
So, Kinsey, what are your thoughts on the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4? Have you pre-ordered either of them?
I haven't. It's weird. I'm always excited about a new generation of gaming, but I don't know if it's just that I'm poor now, but I haven't like looked too much into them besides what games are coming out. And I'm pretty sure Dragon Age is also coming out on the 360. So I might end up going that way because I still haven't gotten a Wii U, which is like the first time I haven't gotten the new system. And I...
You're not missing much, just FYI. As you know, you're probably get a hold off. Remember, it's funny because when we talked about the Wii U, like, remember we were talking about how hard it's going to be to find and shit like that?
Oh, my boy, God.
Man, were you?
I actually waited in line out in the cold, of course.
Brutal. It's brutal. So, anyway, I'm sorry. Didn't mean to cut you off there.
But, I mean, I will probably end up getting them, especially if something comes out that I have to have. Which will probably happen.
But not this fall.
Probably not.
Yeah.
I have a lot of my back burner that I just haven't had a chance to play yet.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm kind of the same way, too. Well, I actually tried to pre-order the PlayStation 4, but I can't. And so now they're saying it's December 31st is the earliest that anybody at this point could get a PlayStation 4.
Oh, wow. Even on Amazon, huh?
Yep.
Wow.
Unless you pre-ordered it before.
Wait, Gamester, did you pre-order either of them?
I did. I had to get the bundle, though.
Are you getting both? Or
I am. Yeah, it's going to be brutal. Yeah, brutal in the pocket. So, yeah, I am.
Huh. I'm looking forward. I mean, people keep asking me why I'm getting the Xbox One.
I loved your response, dude. Your
I'm not going to go that crazy again, but...
That was awesome.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. But, you know, I'm excited. You know, there's nothing you can do to fight the excitement, you know. Yeah. Sure, they did some bad things and got some bad press. But at the end of the day, it's a new system with some games I'm actually looking forward to. Like, I'm super excited because Crimson Dragon, you know, the semi sequel, I guess you could say, to the Panzer Dragoon series is a launch title for Xbox One. So. Now I'm really excited because that was one of my. I played it at PAX like 2 years ago when it was a Kinect game and it was.
I was going to say
it was.
Did it come out to the Kinect?
Yeah, it was bad. I played it. They opened the doors for press that day, and that was the first game I ran to play. It was terrible. Thank God they reworked it to have controller support and be an Xbox One game. But yeah, that's day one. I mean, I'm just excited to be there. It's been 8 years since a new Wii U, but like it's been 8 years since a new system has come out, so I'm excited.
You know, it's funny you mentioned Panzer Dragoon this week. Speaking of games we've been playing, I went back and fired up Panzer Dragoon Orta on the original Xbox. My God, that game is good.
I gotta reboot that. It's been a while since I played that.
It is so good. Like, you just forget how in depth that game is, how beautiful that game is, how long that game is. Like, it's a pretty beefy game, and it includes, I guess, as an unlockable, I haven't done it yet, but you can unlock the original Panzer Dragoon as well. And I don't know, it's just such a great game. If you own an original Xbox, the actual PlayStation 1, definitely pick up Panzer Dragoon Orta. It's awesome.
Cool.
And I guess we should mention, since we did do a podcast, the PS4 has a release date. November 15th is the release date. So it's going to be really interesting to see when Microsoft releases theirs. Because, you know, they want to launch in November, and Sony just basically secured the middle of November. So they either have to launch before, like, it's going to be crazy if they launch mm-hmm. the same week. So they're either going to have to launch, they want to launch before Black Friday, obviously. So they're probably going to try and launch before the PlayStation, but that's they can't launch in the same week. So they'd have to do like really late October or super early November. So it's going to be interesting to see when they launch that thing.
Yeah, because some of these launches, I mean, they're building those suckers right up to the day before, it seems like.
Yeah, so, that's true.
You know,
it'd be interesting how hard the PS4 is to find. Is it going to be like the next?
Oh, it's. Week? It's you're not going to be able to get it in the stores because they're all pre-ordered out. So you're not going to be able to walk into a store and get one. It's mm-hmm. going to, I'm telling you now, the prices on eBay are going to be ridiculous when it comes holiday time.
You're probably right.
I'll probably be more excited about them after PAX.
Most yeah, likely. That's true.
That's usually what happens, very, right? We go curious. See it, yeah.
I think the biggest thing I'm looking forward to PAX is just seeing you guys and hanging out. And
Aww. I'm going to run up and give you a big hug, too.
Crush my back.
Yeah, I'm just going to give you the reach around.
Oh,
there you go.
Boy. Oh, dear.
See it.
And no, by the way, for people that are going to PAX, I don't think I mentioned it on the podcast, I'm not going to be at PAX this year, so have fun, everybody. Play Sonic Lost World for me on the Wii U. Because, well, actually, no, that'll be at October, like, 1st or something, so not much of a wait. But I wish I can go, but I just can't afford to this year. I mean, going to Japan and everything, like, I don't know. I just
understandable.
Yeah.
Definitely understandable.
The systems won't be far away, though, so I won't have to wait long.
There has been, speaking of PAX, because we're going as media, I'm sure you guys are getting the same thing, but there's been a lot of emails, multiple every day, from developers who develop indie games and kind of want to schedule interviews and stuff like that.
Right.
And I'm kind of amazed at the amount of games that are going to be there that I've never heard of. I don't know if you guys have read through those emails, but my God, it's like there's going to be a lot of games there that I've never heard of. It's going to be pretty cool.
That's where you got to go. When you go to PAX, like, you got to go to that indie section because that's where most of the best games of the show are at.
It's mm-hmm. true. Very true.
And there's no wait. Like, you want to wait in line. I mean, you have media, but if you don't have media, you have to wait in line. And sometimes you have to wait in line anyway, even if you're media, for like five hours to play a new like Xbox One or PS4 game. You can go right over to the indie section. No wait for most of the games and have just as much fun.
Yeah, and often you're talking instead of to like a marketing person who may or may not know how the game was made or the decisions. Sure. You're talking to the actual developer who is really passionate about it, loves to hear your feedback. I mean, it's pretty cool.
It's a different experience because, like you said, if you go and play, you know, an Xbox 360 game or something like that, the people, especially Nintendo, it's their job, but it's all PR people, so they're just paid to sit there and, you know, watch people play the game and help them through it. They don't know anything about the game. You know, I shouldn't say that, but they just know the basics of what they have to know. So if you really want to spend some quality time, go to the indie section and you can one-on-one with the developers. It's really cool.
Now, one thing I'm really curious about is, and I don't know if you heard about this, Pete, you probably didn't because you're not going, but they're starting this pin trading thing at PAX.
You know, they've had that, actually. I think at PAX East, they had it there, too.
Oh, really? This could be dangerous, because not only are there penny arcade pins to collect, so these are physical pins that you know, they're characters, they're employees, there's all this stuff, but then the developers get in on it as well, and so there's a Rayman pin, there's all these pins that you can collect. And you trade them back and forth. Yeah. So when you mentioned Sonic, I don't know if there's a Sonic pin, but it would not surprise me that will be exclusive to PAX Prime.
That sounds like what they do at Disney.
Yeah. And actually, they mentioned that this is modeled after Disney.
Yeah.
And so if you go to penny-arcade.com right now and you scroll down the page You can see a sample of all the pins that they're going to have there and show. So,
God,
yeah, it's actually pretty damn cool.
Yeah. But it's one of those things where you probably got to play the game, right? And
it you know what? So they outline that, and it's up to the individual person or the individual company as to how they want to give away the pins. Some of them, it's, yeah, you have to play the demo. Some of them you have to actually get to a certain part of the demo. Some of them are trade only. So if you want the really collectible ones, you have to actually have a specific pin to then trade up to another pin.
That Rayman pin is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty neat. So I could see where this could be really, really addictive.
I mean, most of these games, I have no idea what the heck they are, so I'm imagining most of them are probably just like indie games. I mean, you got Infamous, but like Hidden Path, Strip Search, Loading Ready Run. Like, I have no idea what those games are.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, what's really interesting, though, is that if some of these games come out and they're mega hits, that could be very collectible.
Yeah, you've got those pins and stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, that's cool. It's a good idea. It's going to draw people's, you know, attention and get them more involved with, you know, looking at more places too, you know, making a collecting thing out of it. Mm-hmm. It's cool.
Yeah, it's kind of neat.
I'm excited. Can't wait.
Cool. Well, Kinsey, we should probably wrap it up here. Thank you very much for coming on the podcast.
Of course. I had lots of fun.
Yeah. And so tell everybody where you're going to be, because this is actually going to go up tomorrow night. So if they're going to PAX, where would they see you?
Well, I'll be there all weekend. And then for the SRGE question block panel, it is at 8:30 in the Serpent Theater on Saturday night. And it's going to be a good time.
Awesome. And then also, if they happen to live in the Seattle area, where would they hit up your trivia?
That's going to be the last Tuesday of every month, except for this month. Obviously, it's going to be at PAX. Last Tuesday of every month at the Wild Rover Irish Pub in Kirkland. Usually starts around 7:30.
Cool. And is there a Facebook page?
We make an event every time whenever we're going to do it at the Wild Rover via the SRGE Facebook page.
Cool.
Right on.
Right on, right on.
And so this will go out tomorrow, and then we will skip a week because we'll be at PAX, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So then we will come back the following week with all of our PAX info and...
Well, PAX is over it with Tuesday we'll record. We'll be home next Tuesday, right?
Jason,
I won't be. No.
Oh, you won't. Okay. No. Okay. So we're going to say, okay. Nice. Fair enough. Cool.
Yeah, but we'll have all of our PAX impressions and stuff like that, and we'll talk about hanging out and going. We'll probably do some game hunting and maybe shoot video. We'll talk about all that. It'll be fun.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool.
Awesome. Kinsey, thanks for being here. It's nice meeting you. Good luck with everything.
Of course. Thank you. It was a blast. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
I'm still mad at Nintendo, Pete.
He sounds exhausted.
Yeah. Well, good times, guys. Good night. Take care.
Good night.
Bye-bye.